everyone. This is Buzzer Beaters, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Anthony Corral. I'm Eddie Aparicio, and this is a podcast that is dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. This is episode number 4 of Buzzer Beaters. You can find us at grimlingsmedia.com because we are a property of grimlingsmedia.com. You can also find us at via Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Grumbles Media, and then as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, and Apple. If this is your first time seeing the show, you probably haven't seen our format, but what we do is we normally go ahead and pick two topics each. I go ahead and pick two and I host it, and then Anthony Tuan picks two topics and then he hosts it. But we're going to have a little bit different this week, only because, you know, last week we were on this podcast and we, you know, picked winners for each of the series. And during the time of the podcast, our Warriors were playing, right? And unfortunately, one of us picked the Warriors to go kind of far, and that would be moi here. And then Anthony had him going a little bit, you know, not as far as me, but had him going somewhere. But unfortunately, they lost. And of course, when a team like the Warriors, who has been the dynasty, you know, in the past 12 years, you know, when a team like that loses, it becomes big news. So as you probably heard over the course of the week, all these media outlets were talking about, is this the end of the Warriors, right? Is it, you know, the big three, should they be staying together, all this stuff. This is stuff that is near and dear to Tuan and I's heart because we are longtime Warrior fans. We honestly never thought we would see the day that we are seeing right now, meaning like even this period of time or the last 12 years, the golden era of the Golden State Warriors. We honestly thought we'd never see it. So this show is going to be primarily dedicated to the Warriors. We're going to go ahead. The first topic actually we're going to talk about is about Draymond Green, the enigma that is Draymond Green. We're going to talk a little bit about him as a player, as a leader, his transgressions. What should the Warriors do long term? You know, because this is a big offseason for the Warriors, right? We don't know what, I mean, they're way over the cap, right? They're actually almost at the first apron. We're going to go ahead and delve into that because the next segment, the next topic after the enigma of Draymond Green is we're actually going to talk about the Warriors. What should they do in the offseason, right? It's a big offseason for them, given that they're at the salary cap already and past it and already in the tax. So they're going to have to figure out how are they going to go ahead and keep winning when they have this supernova star in Stephen Curry, who's, you know, still at his peak, right? So we're going to have to delve into that. We're going to go through the salary cap a little bit, how much room they have, and some, you know, we're going to go ahead and talk about players they should target and so forth. So we think, you know, we're going to go ahead and cover the full hour of this podcast because our format is each of these four topics, it would be 15 minutes each. These two topics, I think, are going to probably cover most of the podcast, but if we do have some extra time, we get through the points pretty efficiently, we'll go ahead and reserve some time, potentially, if we don't go over an hour. We're going to go ahead and talk about the Jontay Porter ban from the NBA that happened a few weeks ago. And, you know, we're going to talk about the fairness of that and was he set as an example and so forth. And then, you know, if we have time after that, then we'll delve into the NBA playoffs and what's transpired over the first week of the NBA playoffs. Really good games. If you haven't been watching them, I mean, last night's games were unbelievable, but we can talk about that. And, you know, Twan and I actually had a contest picking brackets and, you know, we can kind of keep score on that. But anyway, so I just want to go ahead and just lay the foundation of the show for those who are new listeners. And if you haven't seen our first three episodes, please feel free to go ahead and see those. We've been getting a lot of good reviews and a lot of good views on this stuff. So please take a look. We love the feedback. We encourage it. So the show is for you, and just give us feedback on what you'd like to hear more of and, you know, what you can do without. So without further delay, let's go ahead and get into it, man. So the enigma of Draymond Green, Tuan. You know, when he got drafted, and remember when he got drafted, right? We were texting, yeah. Right? And I'm like, you know, I was like asking you, hey, did Draymond Green get drafted yet, right? Because I was watching, you know, I think I missed my calling, honestly, because I think I could have been a scout, honestly, because I can really see players and how well they're going to be in the NBA, and I've seen it multiple times. But Draymond Green was one of the guys that I thought would be really good fit for the Warriors. And when he got drafted at pick 35, yeah, you were like, hey, he got drafted at 35. I'm like, no freaking way. He slipped that far, right? And then it took a few years for him to get going, right? Because David Lee was, you know, the guy who was in front of him. And David Lee is a all-star power forward that we got from New York. Actually, he was one of the big guys, actually one of the first big guys that the Warriors actually got as far as, you know, a big name. I don't want to say he's a huge name, but he's a bigger name. And he's, you know, New York media, they hype up their players. So David Lee was actually a pretty big player for us. So anyway, David Lee, when he got hurt, in came Draymond Green in 2014. And then the rest is history. He has been the starting power forward, revolutionized that position, you know, actually was kind of considered the most unique player in the NBA at that time for the first 3 or 4 years when he was a starter because of his versatility. I mean, the guy could dribble, not necessarily shoot, but he is like on another level defensively, right? And you see this fire and this passion that this guy has, right? Over the years, we've seen that fire and passion kind of get in the way of the Warriors winning. And a lot of diehard Warrior fans are pretty much kind of sick of this guy, right? You know, you and I are diehard Warrior fans. You know, I'm going to tell you straight up, Draymond Green, for the longest time, was my favorite Warrior. I have a jersey of him. I have shirts of him. And the reason why is because when I was playing basketball, I would say that Draymond Green's and I's game were very similar because I was a power forward that could shoot, although he can't shoot. I think he can shoot better than him. But he could dribble, right? He played way better than I do, but I could pass and so could he. So that we were kind of similar, and that's why I kind of gravitated to him because we had a similar game. But, you know, I really, really liked, you know, Draymond Green. But these transgressions are getting old. And even for me, for being a diehard Warrior fan of Draymond Green, it's getting old a little bit. And if you talk to all the local – if you hear all the local radio shows, there are a lot of people calling in and saying the same thing, right? They're just kind of getting tired of him. So, So Twan, I kind of get – you know, I wanted to give this background just to lay the foundation of this player. And this player being very polarizing, he is right now, even for Warrior fans, right? But even for the entire NBA, he's polarizing because, you know, he's a big talker. He has his podcast. He's on TNT, although he hasn't been on TNT for a while, man. But he has a job as a TNT, you know, to kind of replace one of those three guys, Kenny the Jet or Charles Barkley or Shaq at some point, right? So, or be in addition to that. So there's a lot of things going on with this guy. And I wanted to go ahead and get your perspective, Twan. I laid out the foundation. I wanted to get your take as to what you think, you know, who is Draymond Green? What does he mean to the Warriors?
Well, you know, like you said,
what should the Warriors do with
Draymond Green?
And so you can take it from there, man.
He is a love-hate relationship with me. And one of the main reasons he's a love-hate relationship with me is, you know, as I was growing up, I was an angry guy. You know, I got angry. There was things that I reacted to, and I see that in him. And, you know, I have the benefit of being, you know, some 20 years older than Draymond Green. So I've gone through life a little bit and it's beat me up a little bit. So I'm a little more humble on that front. But Draymond is, first of all, the reason I loved him was because he was all the things that Clay and Steph were not. He was the fire. He was the heart. He was the defense. Those three guys instinctual, just who they are, people fit perfectly like a glove. I mean, that's what I loved. And in Draymond early on, you know, he was fiery, but he wasn't angry. That's the way that I would divide it. And then as his career has progressed, he's gotten angry. And I don't know why. I don't know if this is something the Warriors have enabled. You know, there's a couple things that come to mind. One is, if you remember when he first started early in his podcasts, he had Kevin Durant on there after Kevin Durant went to Brooklyn. And one of the things that he was doing was he was throwing Bob Myers under the bus for, you know, for the way that things didn't work out. And I just,
yes,
the way he handled it and what
the way he,
what
yes,
chaps
the way he
my
handled
eye
it,
the
way
about
he handled
that particular
whole,
incident
yes,
is,
the
which
out.
We'll get into Jordan Poole here in a minute, because those two incidents kind of mimic themselves in terms of the Warriors' behavior, right? So the first thing that chapped me was, man, why are you turning on the organization? You know, the organization has gotten your back. The organization drafted you. You know, they've dealt with your, kick of LeBron James in the finals, you know, to potentially losing, you know, which would have made
LeBron,
that particular team arguably the best team in NBA history. You know, that was the year that we had 73. Yeah. Correct. And you know, when they had your back on that,
right.
and then for you to like turn with Kevin Durant, I didn't like it. I, you know, and that was the first time that I got to say that Like, in my core, I'm like, dude, Draymond, what are you doing? Like, just be quiet. I don't know if he's trying to get viewers for his podcast. I don't know if he's trying to be, you know, outlandish and get people's attention. I don't know. So then you fast forward to, and so on that note, the Warriors did nothing. You know, they asked Bob Myers. Bob Myers kind of laughed it off, you know, like, oh, that's just Draymond, you know, him, you know, we love him. And, you know, the Warriors said all the right things. Then you fast forward to the Jordan Poole incident, right? So now you have Draymond Green. They're at a practice. Looks, I mean, everyone's, I'm sure everyone's seen the video. If you haven't, it's out there. It's a practice session. They're jawing at each other. Jordan Poole says something, and then Draymond Green kind of approaches them, and Jordan Poole doesn't appear to be backing down, at least verbally. And then Draymond Green takes him out. He knocks him out. And I think it was a total cheap shot. I mean, it depends. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have people that grew up on the streets out there. You know, when someone's in your face that close, you got to have your hands up. But that's a whole other conversation. Jordan Poole had his arms down, didn't look in any type of defensive position, and Draymond Cole caught him. And, you know, that ruined that particular season. I think, in my opinion, up till this date, it still is affecting Jordan Poole. And the ironic thing, I'm not saying. Exactly. I'm not saying these things are connected, but what I will say is neither Jordan Poole nor Andrew Wiggins have been the same since then. Now, I know Andrew Wiggins has had a lot of personal stuff going on in his life. I don't really know what it is. I'm not going to speculate. But those two players, since that incident, have not been the same. Kevon Looney had to take a bigger role. You know, he's insinuated, like, you know, we need to get our act together. So now you fast forward to this particular season, you know, Rudy Gobert in a headlock. The big man over in Phoenix, he hits him. Yeah, Yusuf Nurkic. You know, in the past, he's hit
Yusuf Nurkic.
Adams, right? Kicked him. Sabonis. I mean, yes.
So you keep going. In the playoffs last year,
the thing that resonates with me is that I don't know what Draymond's trying to accomplish, but one thing that I heard on one of his podcasts was that he said, hey, I don't apologize for things that I do. And that was yet another marker for me that my ears perked up, because if you don't apologize for the things you've done, then you're not acknowledging your responsibility in those roles. And I think that he, whether it's pride, whether it's him just going, hey, this is who I am and this is the way it's going to be. And so when I see all of these things, you know, the Warriors have been forgiving of Draymond. You know, they've made a conscious decision that the dynasty was at least more important than Draymond's transgressions. We can argue. I mean, I hear a lot of people on talk radio. I hear a lot of people going back and forth. Well, we wouldn't win if Draymond Green wasn't on those teams. I'm not saying we would or wouldn't. I don't know. But what I will say is Draymond was a huge part in those championships. He was.
Absolutely. And Twan, just to interject here real quick, just support your talk, what you're talking about. And you, I don't know if you saw Clay's podcast or the Green's podcast, Draymond Green's podcast, when Clay was actually one of the guests of honor for that show. And, you know, I thought Clay was being pretty real. And, you know, for those of us who are locally, we get a sense of how Clay really is. I mean, he's a big time competitor. He's low key as hell, but he's hella competitive. And he's actually pretty witty in what he says. You know, he definitely has a purpose in things that he says. And, you know, he definitely, you know, when Draymond Green kind of asked him, you know, how do you feel about when I do what I do, right? And, you know, and Draymond's kind of bracing himself for the answer. He's like, I don't know if I want to hear it, right? And then Clay just said, man, you know what? When you leave, man, the other teams know that we're at a disadvantage, man. It's like they puff out their chest. They know that, you know, our leader, our enforcer, our junkyard dog, if you will, is gone. And therefore, we are a different team without you. So, yeah, it hurts us, man. It hurts us because we can't win without you. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, a few games, you know, March 24th, I think, was the game against Orlando, right? You know, this is after he came back from, you know, serving his indefinite suspension for the Yusuf Nurkic incident, which happened in December of last year. And then, you know, 4 minutes in the game, he gets kicked out of the game, ejected. Yep. And we're like, oh, crap, man, here we go again, right? And then you see Curry, how he reacted, right? Curry got emotional. And it's like, oh, crap. When that happened, I'm thinking, uh-oh. The writing's on the wall, right? The writing's on the wall about what's going to happen with Draymond Green in the future with this organization if he is actually creating a problem where Steph Curry is now, you know, expressing emotion that deeply. And then you could see, you know, even after the game, you saw the video, right? Did you see when Steph Curry was going to the locker room and then, you know, Draymond Green's waiting for him and he did this night thing to him? You know, all those were kind of, it was a cringy moment, man, honestly, bro. And then you see, you know, Curry, you could tell, man, his body language was just not feeling it, but he felt like he had to because he's there. That's his boy, right? But you could tell that, in my opinion, was not necessarily a turning point, but a very impactful moment with respect to how the organization views Green from this point forward. Because they had already signed him up as a four-year contract, right, of $100 million last year, did it last June, right? They knew what they were getting with him. They knew that this guy is volatile, you know, but they've enabled it a little bit because they know that this is his driving – this is what drives him to be the player that
he is. I've got a challenge on that, Eddie, because I don't buy it, right?
Please.
So, you know, like I said earlier, having been angrier in my youth – as I gotten older, the thing that I focused on is two things. Number one, my energy or anything that I do positively is not derived from my anger. So I don't buy that Draymond can't be a fiery guy on the court, yet mind his P's and Q's off of it, or, you know, not hunt down the ref so much or not swing your arms around. Like, I don't buy that those things are connected. And, you know, and I feel, at least for me, as I've gotten older, my anger... When I get angry, I get disappointed in myself because anger is an emotion that's dictated by people outside of you. And so when I see Draymond get angry like that, I look at it as a weakness. Like, Draymond, you're letting those people in. You're letting those people in your head. You're letting those people dictate what you're going to do. You need to be better and stronger than that. I mean, you look at Curry as your prime example. If Draymond were to look at anybody about controlling their emotions, it would be Curry. Curry on the court is a beast. You know, he doesn't pipe up much. He's not very verbal, but you can tell he's determined. You know, he does what he has to do. And off the court, he's low key. So that in and of itself should show Draymond, you don't have to be this to be that. So I would argue with anybody who says, well, that's who Draymond is. That's who Draymond's choosing to be. But that doesn't mean he can't be a defensive monster. And as you were talking, the other thing that just kind of hit me even as we're talking is, my concern and my honest opinion of why I think this could get potentially much worse is because Draymond's skill set is diminishing. And Draymond is, how would I want to put this?
The returns on the investment are diminishing because he is going to
get angrier and angrier that he can't do what he used to do. So he's going to start lashing out in different ways in order for maybe to hide that truth or to, you know, to be someone that you're noticing what's in my left hand, so you can't see what's in my right, you know, kind of deal. So I think you run the risk. Agreed with you on diminishing returns. I 100% agree. But I also think it's going to get worse because he's not going to be able to guard the people that he used to guard. And people are going to score on him and people are going to dunk on him and people are going to talk smack to him. And I don't think he's going to be able to keep his composure in any of those scenarios.
Right. No, I hear you. And you know what? There's an argument that, you know, the Warriors essentially, you know, kind of ignored, you know, all of his transgressions and his emotional ways because of what he was doing. He was bringing winning to the organization. And they were taking, you know, everything from him as far as even him kind of lashing out Steve Kerr, you know, him kind of essentially creating such an issue where Kevin Durant left, you know, kicking LeBron James in the finals in that 73-9 season, that, you know, a lot of people argue that if that had not happened, you know, Warriors would have won that championship. A lot of people forget that Andrew Bogut was also hurt that game too. And that hurt that hurt as well. Right. But would you say that the organization has created this monster? And before I even get your answer, I want you to go ahead and take a listen to Steve Kerr's interview that I think supports a little bit of what I just said, where I think they're creating a monster. So take a listen.
Steve, this was another kind of microcosm Draymond Green experience season. You know, you didn't have him because of things he did. And then you struggled without him. You can't live with him, can't win without him. You even called something he did recently unforgivable.
And yet I forgave him.
All right. So what do you think, man? So, what do you think about the what you just saw? What do you think about what I just said?
So, you know, I think you're right. I think that Kerr and the Warriors organization have drawn a line in the sand. They've basically said, you know, and what Kerr was talking about, the difference between being fiery and violent, right? So Draymond's bordering on violence now as opposed to before he was just fiery. You know, I go back to the example that you set when Draymond was doing the night-night to Curry, and Curry's coming in out of the tunnel, and right. Curry's like, that's my boy, I gotta do. You know, part of me, and I also go to Clay's when he's asking him, you know, you disappointed me. I see two different things going on there that are connected. What I see is two guys that don't want to tell Draymond the truth publicly. They don't want to call him out. They're like, it's an eggshell situation. Because I'm telling you right now, having like experienced some of those similar feelings, like if I'm Curry and I'm coming back, I'd be like, don't hug me. Get out of my face. Like, I'm just going to tell him, like, dude, you blew it. We had these conversations. If I'm Clay, even though Clay took the tactic position of saying, you know, we're disappointed, the truth is there's another aspect. Like, Draymond, you know where this is heading. Why can't you control yourself? Why can't you think of us and the effort that we've put together instead of selfishly only thinking of yourself and getting kicked out of the game?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, you know, bro, there is no checks and balances with Draymond. I mean, and you know, I think the only checks and balances he really had was
correct.
David West.
Yes, we talked about
you know,
this,
actually, yeah. there was actually a rumor, or I don't know, you know, or even you know, people reporting that the reason why the Warriors actually brought David West over to the Warriors is because they saw this tendency about Draymond Green being a hothead, and they needed probably the toughest guy in the NBA at that time. You know, he's kind of the Charles Oakley of this period. You know, nobody would mess that with that guy, right? Because he just – and I've seen it in action, and in some games, you see him kind of patting, you know, Draymond Green on the chest, and Draymond Green just stops and shuts up, right? They don't have that anymore, man. So when they lose that checks and balances – you kind of see where this is going, right? They have no way of controlling this guy. You know, the organization, in my opinion, has done him a disservice. And unfortunately, it took this Jusuf Nurkić indefinite suspension, you know, by his boy, Joe Dumars, right? Because, you know, he's a Detroit Piston. He's, you know, he's the one who's enforcing these penalties and suspensions. Yep. You know, and they're boys, man. So I think he's giving them that tough love because, you know, Joe Dumars is back. You know, he's from that day, man. The bad boys, they're going to get in your face and tell you what you need to hear. And I think that's why he did what he did. And, you know, hopefully Draymond, you know, in my opinion, I thought Draymond Green came back from that suspension definitely more tempered. But then we saw that Orlando Magic game, and then we saw what, you know, we were talking about with Curry getting emotional and, you know, getting the night-night at the locker room from Draymond when he was coming in. You know, but even then, let's say that transgression, for the most part, I thought he was actually – pretty good. I mean, he's still on the edge. Sometimes I think the refs kind of were giving him some leeway a little bit, but I thought he was a better version of himself, honestly. And we don't know where that's going to take us in this offseason, right? I mean, this is a big offseason. We just don't know. But before we get into the offseason moves, what I wanted to ask you, because you made reference about, you know, you kind of identifying a little bit with kind of the way he is, a little bit of the anger and so forth. You know, what happened in your life that made you kind of change your ways, and maybe something that you could give as maybe some, you know, advice to people like Draymond who may have kind of like some anger issues, or, you know, because it sounds like you had it and you've overcome it. So it would be great if we could, you know, you could share your
perspective. Well, yeah. So that's an interesting question. That's a good question. One of the reasons, one of the things is, well, there's two, which is yin and yang. My wife is very low key. She, you know, if I'm on a roll, she'll let me finish the roll. She'll let me, you know, she's very low key. And me at times feeling like I was bullying her, even though that wasn't my, intent. I'm just letting off steam, you know, but I'm doing it and I'm acting in a way that, you know, isn't good. So that was one, right? Me just looking at the mirror and looking at that and me acknowledging, you know, I got to be a better guy. But the other one was, ironically enough, is my oldest daughter. She's got about as much fire as I do. And there's nothing like seeing someone in your life that has that to go, is that what I'm like? Is that?
How I did not know that, man. That? I mean, she's pretty low key, man.
She's got a lot of fire, you know, and you know, and she's a strong girl. I can't sit here and tell you she was as bad as me or as good, you know, better than me. I don't know. That's for other people to decide. But when I seen her, then I really started to kind of reflect, like, was that the role model that I was? Is that like reflective of what I was doing? And I started to really take a lot more responsibility on my behavior and what it looked like. And, you know, I spend a lot of time with her telling her, hey, don't get worked up, you know, whether it's in traffic or whatever, she gets all bent. So I don't know if these things, you know, Draymond's kids are still little. I don't know if his, we'll call it anger or heat, carries over into his personal life. I don't know him. So I don't know if he has those examples, but to me, it was those two things, you know, that I started just kind of looking at the mirror, and it was my own family. And, you know, the truth is they never said anything to me. They never called me out on it. They never, you know, and maybe I was making it out worse than it was, but I know that I didn't like who I was or who I was looking at myself through in their eyes. And so I felt like I had to look at things from a different perspective. And now when people do things that make me angry, what I try to do is just, you know, step away. You know, I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. You know, whatever I can do to diffuse and not handle it at the situation. Cause that is another thing that's very, in me, is when there's a situation, I want to address it now. I'm like really impatient about that. Like, I want to talk about it now. I want to deal with it now. And that was connected to my anger. I needed to just let it smooth over, give it a day, give it 2 days, think on it, you know, and that's helped. And, you know, there's times I still kind of react from the gut, you know, right, as I'm sure a lot of us do, but that would be the best thing that I could tell you, you know, in terms of what's helped me kind of realize the kind of person that I needed to be and be less.
So you kind of looked at yourself in the mirror in time, and it took maybe having your daughters, you know, being in your life, and you had to kind of maybe look at yourself as setting a better example for your family, given that, you know, you have this tendency, right? And you didn't want them to kind of have this tendency as well. So it took you kind of, you know, making your own, you know, assessments, your own introspective kind of, you know, decisions. And that's what led you to where you're at today. And that's admirable, man. I mean, you know, the fact that you were able to accomplish that, you know, with a little outside help, and I don't know if you did or didn't.
Yeah, well, maybe,
you may have had help from friends, family.
No. Right? What I'm saying is, it's still a work in progress. You know, I don't, you know, I still, but no, thank you for that. And yeah, it's just, it's something that's taken over. You know, the one thing that it's been like, you know, this is like 20 years worth of work. You know, this isn't like something that I decided. You know, and you're going to mess up and you're going to slip. But the thing that like I was talking, kind of getting back on point with Draymond, the thing that really, really, really gets to me is where he's like, I don't apologize for what I've done. And that part, that line is like very, very self-defiant. That's him going, hey, this is who I am. You can love me or leave me. And I know that mentality. I know, because it's come under a lot of terms. You know, when we were growing up, it's like, hey, I just keep it real. That was everybody's, you know, line. I'm keeping it real. Well, you know what? There's no rule that you can't keep it real and not be a jerk. You can keep it real and be nice. Keep it real and just, you know, do things low key. And I see that in him. He's just refusing to acknowledge the things that he's not doing, because he's saying, you know, whatever his reasons are, it's the way I am. No one's calling me out on it. Look how much I've won due to the fact of the way that I am. Whatever excuses he's making internally, he hasn't come around to say, hey, no, this has got to change.
So let me ask you this. Would you say, from a scale of 1 to 100, would you say it's pride more, or insecurity?
Yeah.
Or would you say insecurity?
Insecurity? Those are two good. Again, you know, without knowing Draymond, you know,
I'm like, just saying in general, well, I'm not talking about him.
I would say,
so I'm just trying to get,
for me, I think it was more insecurity than it was pride, for me personally. For him, I sense pride as the motivating factor, but again, I don't know him. I'm not going to pretend to know him.
Or how about maturity? What kind of percentage would you put on that?
Well, you know, he's a family man. You know, he's what, 34, 35 years old. You know, if he was 20 and he said, I'm not apologizing, I would get it. I'm like, you're dumb and you're young. He's not young. Right. He's not old, but he's not right. young. He has kids. He has a family. He has responsibilities. Right. I think that he should have at least at this point going, hey, it's something I got to work on. I mean, he went to therapy. Yeah. I'm sure this is something that was discussed in his yeah. therapy, you know, about acknowledging your own contributions to what you're doing, to what's happening, your own aspect of it. And so to me, I think it's pride more than maturity.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So,
you know, and just for a little tidbit, I know we, I wanted to mention it, you know, another thing was, you know, here in the local sports talk, you know, there's a guy, Bonte Hill, who does a morning show. And, you know, when this whole thing with Draymond was going on, he was, you know, talking about it and talking about, you know, maybe the Warriors should let him go. He's got a negative influence. I mean, you know, he was in my opinion, he was being as balanced as you could given the situation. And, you know, Draymond listens or it heard or whatever, and they're going to do an interview. And the first minute that Draymond gets a chance to talk to Bonte Hill, he calls him out. He's like, you know, he's like, hey, Bonte, why are you even talking to me? I'm a terrible person. Why? And when I see that, I'm just like, dude, you're just bitter, bro. Like, he wasn't saying anything that was demeaning you. He was saying actual things. Your attitude is a concern. And if you don't think it is, then you're not seeing things the way you should be, you know? And so I just find it fascinating that he finds it easy to call somebody else out, but then try calling him out. And I think it's going to be a big mess.
Yeah.
You know, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only way, and he's a bully personality. He is, you know, and I'll tell you that when I was a kid, I was bullied. Right. And the reason being is because I was a bigger kid for my size, for my age, and the bigger kids, the older kids picked on me and I didn't know what to do. Right. It took, you know, my stepdad arm to kind of teach me, you know, the strength that I really had. And he kind of, you know, helped shape me with my confidence and so forth so that I wasn't getting bullied anymore. But the only way you can go against a bully is bullying back, man. And he doesn't have that right now. He doesn't have somebody to kind of check him on the team. We need another David West.
No.
I'll tell you one guy that they should go try and get, man. Go get James Johnson. You know who James Johnson is?
That guy is like
a fourth or fifth degree black belt, and I don't know what kind of martial art, but it's a known thing, man. Nobody messes with that guy in the NBA. And maybe that's what we need is James Johnson.
Well, you know? I mean, think about this, Eddie. In the history of dynasties, okay, but for NBA dynasties, has there ever been a group of nicer guys than the Warriors? Kerr, nice guy. Myers, nice guy. I mean, Lacob, he looks like he's got a little fire, but he kind of stays out of it. You know, your superstar player, nice guy. You know, his Robin, right? Clay, nice guy. Like, they're all nice guys. I mean, do you imagine trying this with Kobe or trying this with Jordan or trying this with Greg Popovich or trying this? There'd be problems. They'd be on him. And so back to your question, did the Warriors create this monster? Yes. But there's also the sense that the Warriors, this is who they are. That's in their DNA. They're treating everyone like mature adults. They're depending on everyone to acknowledge their role in this situation and behave accordingly. And that's how they act. They act like a business, you know, and they don't want to come down and yell at people. And so, yes, they've created this monster, in my opinion, but also they didn't do it on purpose. This is just who they are. This is how they operate.
We appreciate you listening in to Buzzer Beaters, episode 4. Again, you can find us at gremlingsmedia.com. You can also find us at Rumble, YouTube, under the profile Gremlings Media, as well as your traditional podcast outlets such as Spotify, Google, and Apple. Tuan, this is Buzzer Beaters, episode 4. It was definitely a pleasure, man, having this conversation with you, man. I thought it was real about, you know, the Draymond Green, you know, correlation in your life that you kind of went through some of that. I mean, that was real stuff, man, and I really appreciate it. Hopefully the audience appreciates that perspective.